listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. Now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Shaws of Sunset After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Shaws of Sunset After Show.
Oh, this is kind of a slow intro, huh?
You know
there it is. A lot. Hey everybody, Bing is for doing, and we are here doing the Shaws of Sunset Reunion Part 1 episode. I'm your host this evening, Anna Koppel, and here with me
is I'm Michelle Renee. Hi guys.
Sorry, I was so into the music. I'm Dua Casey, welcome.
Welcome, good evening. Good evening. So Part 1, this is the first time the Shaws have done a reunion. Last season there was no reunion, I think it was just a little bit of a teaser season, so I actually was not aware there was going to be a reunion, so thank you, Michelle, for bringing us into the loop on that.
I like the setting. They opened up, and it was like, it was in true Persian fashion. You have the huge chairs, you've got like the huge spread, you had everything. Like, it was very, I think it screamed Persian.
What was the deal with the pile of cucumbers? Did we ever figure that out?
I don't know.
There were two piles, actually.
Yep, there were. Yes. And there were the tomatoes and then the cucumbers over them. And Andy Cohen, who had hosted the reunion, did mention at the beginning that Reza had, he was in charge of the spread, so maybe that's why there were so many, you know, phallic.
Well, I think that was a joke. I think that was a joke, yeah. Because every time Reza called family meeting, there was like a ridiculous spread of food.
But exactly.
But
I'm sure they were all Persian cucumbers.
Okay, but you're not going to just like grab a cucumber on your plate with finger sandwiches. It doesn't quite make sense. Anyway, Lily came prepared this evening.
Yeah, you know what? She is definitely a lawyer. She was ready. I didn't know she like thought that she was coming into the courtroom, but she was.
I didn't know that there were that many things in question about her, that she came with like bill of sales and her, all of her sales from her business, swimgeray, or what is it? What is it really called?
Half faith,
right.
I agree. Like, we didn't hear too much from her this season. She wasn't one of the main characters. And so for her to be the most outspoken one at the reunion and have the most drama kind of revolving around her, that right. was strange to me.
Right. And I thought that was hilarious. She's like, I don't need to brag about that. And he was like,
she was such a walking contradiction. And I like that she admitted about her voice and about that her being uptight in Cabo. But when talking about everything, she had her 5-car bill of sales. She had the fact that she made $72,000 this year or this month alone.
January, her slowest month.
Her slowest month in the swimsuit and most businesses. But I'm sure the swimsuit business is really, really slow in January. $72,000 alone. She had everything. She's like, I'm not trying to brag, but this is the fact that I paid for this $280,000 Bentley on my own. I'm not trying to brag, but this is, you know.
Right.
And I love the tiny little comments that Andy would make the entire time. And he was like, well, you brought the bill of sale.
Right. Well, I like that you said she admitted that her voice was annoying. She also admitted that she seemed rather uptight in Cabo,
mm-hmm.
which we hated her in Cabo.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So.
Because she doesn't party.
Well, I think there's, you know, a way to party and a way to be polite and a way to maybe just excuse yourself from the situation if you're not going to party
mm-hmm.
and not just be, you know,
a drag there.
Complete drag.
She should have been their wing man or woman. Instead of like a bitch and kind of judging of them, which she was.
I'm finding you all disgusting.
Right. I hate the way they smell. I hate the way they look.
Yeah.
My Hermes bag is getting dirty. Like,
my boobs are going to catch on fire.
Yeah. Or my lace front wig. I would just like to say the entire season, I've been looking at her wondering what's going on with her hair. Is it her real hair? Is it not? And I think I finally come to the conclusion that she has a lace front wig on.
What does that mean?
Ooh, is that a style of wig?
No, it is a wig. And it has like a lace like
front
part in the middle, in the front. And so you camouflage it into your skin with like makeup or like powder, or you like cut it down so it looks very natural, like your hair.
Oh, so it actually, it almost blends it. The lace will blend it into your scalp so it doesn't look like it's just your hair. It's just like face and then wig.
Yes, exactly.
Interesting.
It's a little more subtle. But I mean, don't you guys agree that something is off with her hair?
Yes.
Well, there are definitely, I thought that there were definitely extensions the entire time, which I found ironic, which this whole time Gigi has an extension company that she hasn't been like promoting or hasn't like, I really haven't heard one thing about it except for that one episode that was surrounding it. But then every episode I see Lily in these obvious extensions, and I'll take lace front wig for $1,000. Alex Trebek, okay. I'll take it. I think that could be totally possible, but it's definitely, that's not her natural hair. That's impossible.
Yeah.
No. There's like really tight curls like she had tonight. Mm-hmm. And her dress, holy tits.
It was so, I loved it.
Did you?
I loved, well, the thing is when they had those wide shots, don't look at me like that for those of you. I loved, it was very Elvira. It was so long and flowy.
Okay.
It was a great dress.
But it had a train too.
Had a major train. And
are you talking about how it just revealed her boobs?
I'm talking about the whole thing. Right. Was it appropriate
would it have been accepted at the Grammys is what I'm asking.
It was an interview.
Yeah.
She's sitting down for an interview. Would you wear that to an interview? I would not.
Well, it's not an interview for a job.
I might wear it. You know, well, I'm not going to tell you where I might wear it. But I wouldn't wear it there.
I
don't feel that it was appropriate.
All right. Well,
it's difficult to take her seriously. I'm just going to keep interrupting you.
That's totally fine. I thought it was a great. I mean, she has them. She's a little girl. She's got these big boobs. If I looked like her, I'd be wearing less, frankly, all the time. So, this is the one time I will defend Lily. I'm on board with her voice. I'm on board with other things, but I did like the dress.
Michelle.
Am I coming on her dress or whose look I liked? I think that Gigi looked nice.
I thought she did too.
Yes. Of the women, I would say she looked the best.
Did Asa look like a transvestite tonight?
Wow. Cut to the chase, Anna.
Well, I mean, this is just an accusation that's been made.
By Gigi.
Did she look like that this evening?
It's not her most feminine look that we've seen. And I'll leave it at that.
Okay. I love the straight hair. I think the straight hair is great, and I liked the way that she looked because it was interesting. About the middle of the show, if you look, there was a flashback to one of her like testimonials where she has on this like this gold headband, and her hair is all curly. And I think in that scene, she looked terrible, but with her face shot right next to it, her makeup and her hair, she looked put together. She looked like she didn't do her makeup herself. She looked better than she did at Persia Palooza.
Let me tell you what I did not like about her look tonight is she had it's kind of boob but kind of armpit fat that was kind of coming out of the side of her dress.
Like, and it wasn't tailored right.
Totally see her deodorant. And that's gross and that's not very ladylike. And yeah, it maybe didn't fit her properly or maybe didn't have a proper bra or something. But
Don't they have people before you say action, before you start airing? Don't they have people that say, "Hey, Asa, can I just get Asa a tissue, please?" Like, don't they have those people that are like, "I can see that on camera," you know?
No, I think Lily has those people that are like, "Uh-uh, before you start rolling, get her. Yeah. She doesn't look right." Asa, no,
she doesn't have an entourage.
She does not.
Right, she
doesn't have her entourage. Just
but that was my prediction for Asa last time, is that she was going to tone it down. She was going to start looking a little bit more polished.
And I'm glad that you said that. I'm glad that you said more polished, because I think that whether or not you like or dislike her look, it did look more polished. She did look a little bit more, not like I was going to say more like a human being, but more like, she did just look more subtle. And it was just easier for people, I think, to relate to her. I felt like I could listen to her more. Whether she seems so out there with her diamond water and everything all the time that it was just easier to kind of, she honed it in. She brought it in.
She looked a little bigger. And I don't want to be the one to bring that up since there was a whole Lily versus, what's her name? MJ thing, Lord. But I don't know. Like, I mean, I think she's clearly gained weight even since first season to like now. But I don't know if like her weight is a point of contention for her. And if it were, I don't think she would lose weight just on purpose so she wouldn't be a sellout.
Yeah.
So I wonder how she feels about the weight gain she's
I don't think she cares because there was that episode when I think it was the Cabo episode. Lily was talking to Asa, and this is before they were friends, about liposuction. Do you remember this?
Right. Well, yes. And
she was
Asa
like, I
talked about how much she loved her body and whatever.
Yeah, she's like, I love my body. It's fine.
Listen, I love women. I love women that love their bodies. I think that's great. But I also think it's important to dress to fit your body. And to have, like, side fat hanging out is not cute. It's just not. And, like, at her Persian Palooza, whatever she was wearing, she had, like, all kinds of stuff hanging out. It's, you know, you can still wear, like, tight, form-fitting things, but just make sure that everything's in whatever you're wearing.
Mm-hmm. So how do you feel about MJ? Because MJ does the same thing, essentially.
I feel like she gets sloppy sometimes. I feel like sometimes she wears, you know, like she should not have been wearing that bathing suit in Cabo. But I did like that tight red dress she was wearing. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I felt like that fit her. But
it's, you know, it's all about, I feel like it all boils down to whether or not they're comfortable. I feel like that thing with the side that you were talking about with Asa's side fat in her dress, I feel like maybe she was just unaware about that, you know?
Michelle's checking herself out now.
I'm tucking my side fat in.
Yeah. Well, I think that she was just unaware, but something like what MJ, like the swimsuit that MJ was wearing, that's very similar to that swimsuit that Pretty Woman, what's her name?
Julia Roberts.
Yeah, that's the beginning of Julia Roberts, that white thing that goes on the top with like the one thing.
That wasn't in Cabo.
Down. No, but that's what it looks like at the beginning of the movie. That's what it looks like she was wearing. Anyway, that did not look flattering at all. And that's why Lily brought a swimsuit over for her to wear, or a sarong. Is that what it was?
Whatever it was, yeah. She brought her something.
Yeah. So if that made sense to anybody, what I just said right there.
Right. And then that was flattering on her.
It absolutely was. But I think if the person is comfortable in their own skin, then it shouldn't matter.
I don't think Asa's comfortable. That was my point of asking you guys the question. I mean, I think that she has to put on this front as, like, Persian pop priestess. But obviously, it seems like there's a lot of emphasis in their culture on looks. Mm-hmm. Not just her weight aside, but, for instance, how she is looking more polished now. You know?
Right.
So I think she is realizing that she might want to change her look.
Okay. Interesting.
That was a dumb comment, but okay.
No. It actually wasn't. It wasn't at all. So you feel like Asa is not completely comfortable with her look, but just puts up a front to be.
Yes.
What about I'm sorry, I got so excited. That finish your thought.
Well, it makes sense because a lot of other things that she does is contradictory as well. Like she's really holistic, but she cares a lot about gold. You know, so that wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility.
That's exactly where I was going, is that she has this sort of, I don't know their hypocrisies. She might not even be aware of it. But like Gigi brought up the thing about blood diamonds.
Oh God.
Where do we stand on that?
I think that was like the train wreck part of the reunion, by the way. Did you see? I just loved Andy Cohen's face. Said it all. Like they would just do cutaways and do cutbacks to his face, and he was like,
yeah. They were all good reaction shots.
But wait, someone said that blood diamonds aren't sold in the U.S. Is that true? Because I didn't.
No, it's totally not true.
Yeah, blood diamonds are sold
all over the world.
Yeah. So whoever said that, boo,
boo.
Yeah, I think it was Andy.
I think in capitalistic. Well, he said, would they be sold on television?
Oh, is that what he said?
If somebody was selling blood diamonds, would they be selling them on television? Which, yes, but just not as blood diamonds.
Well, yeah. By the way, you can't go into a jewelry store and say, like, may I purchase some blood diamonds? Like, that's not
mm-hmm.
how
the term
it
is
works.
Conflict-free.
Yeah. Right.
All right.
You go looking for a diamond that is conflict-free, as the girl who's obviously engaged, not.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe she was trying to say that as this person that's doing Diamond Water. This actually isn't what she was trying to say. I'm giving her way too much credit. But as the person who's doing Diamond Water, did you even put any thought into how this diamond was obtained?
Yeah. Yeah. Was it a conflict-free diamond?
No.
And I didn't hear her ask that question.
No, she just screamed. She just screamed blood diamonds, and then she looked at her and she goes, "Do you know what blood diamonds are?"
I didn't hear her ask that question. Well, I didn't hear her ask that question in the jewelry store, is what I'm saying.
Oh, correct.
And I also, I think she was caring most about the price. That was her chief concern. And I think conflict-free diamonds are a little bit more expensive.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I probably, although I don't know. I have no idea. I haven't purchased a diamond here recently.
I just saw Blood Diamond, the movie, and there's a little, like, story at the end of it that explains all about it.
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
It is
a great movie.
Oh, so good.
Everybody should go see it.
It should. Leonardo DiCaprio is great with his...
In theaters like 5 years ago.
Yeah, you should go see it.
Because Asa should go see Blood Diamonds.
You know what is going to be in theaters soon?
Oh, nice!
Yeah.
Nice!
Yeah, yes, thanks.
You're good.
Serial Buddies. Our CEOs here, filmmaker Kevin Undergaro and extras Maria Menounos, came out with a film, Serial Buddies, and it will be in select cities March 8th, as well as available for download online. You can go to serialbuddies.com. It's really cool. It's kind of like Dumb and Dumber meets Dexter. It's like a buddy comedy, but, you know, for serial killers.
Yeah.
So it's fun. Lots of names, lots of stars. Just check it out. Moving on.
I'll do that. I will check
it
out.
You should check it out.
I will
do
that.
So
MJ's an alcoholic?
MJ, I don't know. Is she? Is she popping pills?
Okay, first of all, that was my prediction. We were sitting in the screening and you're like, you can't predict that. That happened in the episode. But my prediction is that they will find out that she is, in fact, a pill popper.
Okay.
Because they alluded to it. And they didn't really answer the question. And then it ended with saying that she doesn't pop pills. And now it's coming back around saying that, you know, she does pop pills. And Reza seems to be... I actually want to just point out before I get into it. Did you guys notice the seating? How Reza was sitting next to Lily. Mm. Asa was sitting very, very far away from Gigi. And MJ and Gigi were sitting together and Mike was on his own.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of felt that divide between MJ and Reza. How now Lily and MJ are sitting... Or Lily and Reza are now sitting on the same bench. I just think that's very telling. Because he seemed very angry with her.
They do that on purpose, too. Mm-hmm. I mean,
well,
they don't seat themselves.
Yes, but I think that it's telling as to where, you know, people want to, like, I just think it's telling. Reza seemed very, very angry with MJ.
I think that Reza and Asa are still being mean girls.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. And, you know, to say that MJ has been popping pills for 20 years, and he hasn't said anything about it till Shaw's of Sunset season 2. Seems odd to me.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I wrote down to. If you're supposed to be her best friend and she really has a problem, then why haven't you tried to help her before then? And also, like, what is pill popping exactly? Because she's admitted to taking pills. So what does pill popping mean? When is pill popping a problem?
Well, say that 3 times fast and I'll tell you. I'm just kidding.
You know, I mean, do you understand what I'm trying to ask? Like,
yes.
She already admitted she takes pills.
But
so does that classify as a pill popper or there's more?
Yeah. Yes, she admits that she takes Ambien. I also love that Gigi, like, throws out, I take Valium, I take Klonopin, who cares?
Shocker.
Yeah, no, and good. Like, it's good. It seems to have helped her a little bit anyway. But I can't really speak for the rest of the country, but in Los Angeles, it's difficult for me to find somebody who does not take a lot of pills. I just think that that's part of the culture here, and that's just kind of how it is. So to accuse somebody of popping pills just seems like, who cares? So what? Right?
I think it's what is the pill and for what reason? If she takes sleeping pills because she has diagnosed insomnia from a doctor who prescribes her sleeping pills, and she takes sleeping pills and she's prescribed 30 for
30
a two
days,
month, for 30 days, and she is out of them in 5 days, there's a problem.
All right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I think it's not the popping of the pills, it's the abuse. of the popping of the pills. And if she's seeing multiple doctors to get multiple prescriptions, you know, and one hand doesn't know what the other hand is doing, then that's an issue. I feel like it's so hard to figure out what, like, where that line is. Mm-hmm. And she would be the only person that knows, you know, but she really seemed to be backpedaling a lot. And she really seemed to be, you know, being defensive. And it seemed, especially with her drinking as well. Do you guys think that she is an alcoholic?
Mm. Alcoholic, yes. Pill popper, no. Like, I mean, I'm going to agree with Mike just because he's been the most reasonable of everyone. And he's kind of, you know, I don't know, the neutral party in it all. And mm-hmm. So what he seemed to say makes sense. He surely knows her better than I do. So maybe a little bit of a drinking problem.
Mm.
But the pills, maybe. But, I mean, it's on a continuum, like you said, like.
It's only she would know.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And what you know what?
You're not stopping.
What would happen if she did go to AA? Like, would she be less fun? Thank you, Martin. I appreciate that.
I'm not convinced that she's an alcoholic. I think Gigi is. I think MJ might be a problem drinker, but MJ doesn't seem to have the kind of consequences in her life that Gigi does. You know, somebody who's an alcoholic, you tend to see, like, consequences, the loss of things, a job, a business, a relationship. She is late a lot, which might be indicative of, you know, just prioritizing drinking, not, you know, losing track of time, whatever. So that would be the only thing. But she does seem to still be able to make a lot of money and show houses and have clients. And so I don't know. But I would say problem drinker with MJ and not not alcoholic. That's my opinion.
Well, guys, go to iTunes and tell us if you think MJ or Gigi or both have a drinking problem. You can type in AfterBuzz / Shaws of Sunset to check out this after show or your favorite after show on iTunes. Rate and comment.
Obviously your favorite after show.
Yeah. You can tell us what your second favorite after show is after this one. Rate and comment. Tell us what you thought of our season and give your opinions. Obviously, tell a friend. It only takes a minute. Thanks.
Woohoo. I have a question.
Go.
What is up with Andy's eyes? Did you hear? So talking about Andy Cohen's eyes, Gigi mentioned that.
Well, he mentioned that in his book.
And I've never read his book. And what is,
I don't know.
Because when they were talking about the nose, what brought this on was the nose.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about the nose. Gigi looks immediately over at Andy and says, well, you know, your eyes, you wrote in your eyes, in your book about your eyes. And he immediately looked like it had gotten personal and something I thought that it had struck a chord with him when she brought up his eyes. And I think that that's exactly what Gigi was trying to do.
He has weird eyes. Like in his book, someone apparently one day told him he was never going to be on TV because he was cross-eyed. He isn't cross-eyed, but if you do notice sometimes he just kind of has
a wonky look.
Like a baby non-focusing eye.
Yeah, it's like, it's his left one, and when he looks into the camera, it looks like it's like a little lazy.
Yeah.
And it just kind of like, you know.
And so he brought that up in his book. So I guess Gigi was trying to make the comparison, which I thought was a good comparison. If one of Andy's friends mentioned that to him, then maybe it wouldn't be a problem. But in your first meeting with someone at a group dinner to make a cheer about a physical feature on someone.
Right.
As the Persian prop priestess that's supposed to be all about things that aren't physical and aren't materialistic. What are you doing, Asa?
Being a little tacky.
Yeah.
And it's not like they even had a conversation about it beforehand. Like, oh, my goodness. It's like, you know, your nose is. And so she knew it was coming. She's like, I'm toasting to your nose. And everybody's like, what?
Yeah. Mm. That was sloppy.
Yeah, a lot of things were sloppy. well, there was a lot of trash talking this season, which they sort of recapped. But something I wanted to touch on really quickly was that Asa seemed to have these Latin definitions for vulva and phallus, which I took the liberty of looking up while we watched this.
On a hunch?
Just just on a hunch. Just on a hunch. And I... This is my fault. I didn't write down what she said. I remember she said that vulva is something to be ashamed of, and phallus was golden
something,
they said. So the Latin derivation, or vulva, the Latin derivation for vulva actually just means covering or womb. And then phallus actually isn't Latin. It's borrowed from Greek, and it refers to an erection, and it means to inflate or swell. So I don't know what Aus is talking about.
Or where she got her information.
Right. Maybe her philosophy class. I don't know.
Perhaps. Mm. I would be curious to know as well.
But she's precious.
Loud and wrong.
Well, and before we just call her wrong, maybe she's right, but we have misinformation as well. But it's definitely something.
I looked at a couple of sources just in case.
Yeah.
Just letting you know.
Well, it's really funny. It's just like, it's not really what you say, it's how you say it. I could be completely full of crap and be like, do you know what the Latin meaning of, you know, this is? Well, it's this. And it's like, if you say it with such conviction, it'd be like, oh, no, I didn't know that you believe it automatically.
Do you know what a good thing to use for that? If you're not really sure and somebody starts questioning you, you just go, yeah, everybody knows that. Everybody, like, tell to them like they're an idiot. Mm-hmm. Then usually you win your point until somebody looks it up later.
I thought only teenagers use that.
That's just, no, I learned that actually from, I'll tell you later, but... but usually, yeah, conviction.
Exactly.
It's necessary. Gotta,
mm-hmm. But maybe Andy knew she was full of it because he's like, no, tell me, Asa, what does it mean?
It was so condescending, right?
It was. And I didn't get Asa? It at the time. And I was kind of like, why is he acting like that towards her? But now that the definition comes out as being incorrect from her, I'm like, oh, maybe he's on to her being full of hot air.
Yeah.
A coconuts.
Yeah, coconuts. Yeah. I love that, yeah. Hey, so MJ, I thought, humbled herself. Something Gigi was trying to be taught.
something Gigi did not do.
But Lily really refused to accept MJ's multiple apologies.
She did at the very, very end. She said, thank you.
After Mike yelled at her.
After Mike is like, what are you doing? She's apologizing. Stop. You're still going. Stop. Stop. What is this?
Yeah. And she accused her of looking down.
That was really annoying.
Yeah.
If somebody is trying to say something and trying to defend their position and you're like, every time you look down, you're about to tell a lie. And just, it was.
And I thought it was like if you're looking up and to the right or up and to the left or something. Right?
I heard the same thing, like up and to the left.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That's why.
Well, I'm getting this strictly from the movie Negotiator. So this is not like a source but I know that like...
At least we source our information here at AfterBuzz.
Yeah, yeah. Right? But in that movie, they say that if you look up one way or the other, but one of them access, I think it's up and to the right, you're accessing like your left side brain, and that's where all of your creative stuff comes from. So you know that everybody's full of shit when they're looking up and to the right. And then up and to the left, I think that you're accessing your like informational, so you're just like...
Some memories, yeah. You're trying to...
Yeah. Yeah, so there is definitely a lot. But looking, any type of like erratic behavior, I think it's not only about where your eyes go, it's also about your body language. Do you cough? Do you shift? Do you ask a question back to buy time to think about something?
But I think if I'm trying to be humble and apologize and somebody is continually like calling me out on something, I'm maybe not going to be making direct eye contact with them because I'm uncomfortable.
And there's also a million other different factors involved. Like maybe the lights were bothering her eyes. Maybe she's on camera and she's nervous.
Maybe she's on Valium and she's tired.
Sleepy. Yeah.
You know, give her a break.
Yeah.
It sounds like grandma's clock in the background. I don't know.
Was that a grandfather clock?
It's the doorbell. Someone doesn't know just to turn a knob and you walk in.
That's awesome.
Ding dong. Somebody's here. We have a guest. No.
It's awesome.
Oh, dear.
Okay. So, yeah.
What a train wreck that whole Gigi Asa thing was. Like, I don't even know where to start with that.
Well,
I loved how Mike was just like, what are you saying? Like, he was just like, he's like, you know, it's serious when he starts talking to her in Persian, you know? He's like, what are you doing? Like, what are you talking about?
Well, because she was like, an officer knows that if two people pull out guns, that you're not supposed to have a gun. Like, what?
Nobody's supposed to shoot unless you think the other person's going to shoot first. And then you and you're like, well, first of all, nobody should give Gigi a gun ever.
Right. Well, it's not really her weapon of choice anyway.
All of the other females, I think, made very conscious decisions about how they were going to act on the reunion. Lily obviously came prepared with her materials.
Asa
was like, I'm going to be very calm, cool, and collected, pop priestess, whatever. MJ, you know, we're going to see what she's going to do next time. But Gigi didn't really make good choices as to how to defend herself for being the crazy one with the temper. She played right into it and just acted a fool. So I think that she should have made a more conscious effort to control herself, at least for the reunion.
Well, based on what she said in the past, if this is true, she has no control over herself and her anger, and she doesn't remember things, and it gets spotty, and she doesn't know. What I find interesting, she seems to me like somebody that just isn't very smart.
Yes.
Because she just gets mad to get mad. And when she is going to make a point, she doesn't make a point at all. She just talks in circles.
You guys.
Yeah.
Do you remember how she called herself the Rosa Parks of reality TV?
Oh, God. That doesn't even make a little bit of sense. What does that mean?
Well, what was her explanation? That they were called out for being who they were.
They were disgraced to their community.
And so they were going to take a stand and be like, no, we're going to keep drinking and spending a lot of money. Just like Rosa Parks.
Yeah, that's insulting.
Yeah.
As an African American, like, just stop.
Oh, my goodness. So just on a little sidebar note, I do have that video. Martin, do you have that video?
Yes. Do you want to see it?
So this video, it is. Well, it almost looks like a news conference, and it's just Reza and Lily and Asa defending their position as.
I just wanted to be on the show to get a message across about homophobia in the Persian community. So I had an agenda coming on the show, and it's been really easy. If you have an awareness of the cameras and you're super self-conscious about what's going to come out, this arena is definitely not for you.
I think for me, it was a little bit more of a struggle. I come from a very conservative, small-town family, so still to this day, my father doesn't agree with what I'm doing. He's against it. So it's hard for me, and I'm the newbie, so I'm still kind of getting accustomed to the cameras in my life. But like he said, eventually you forget they're even there, and you just live your normal, everyday life.
Wait, there's more.
Yeah.
Usually people learn through movies, and so far we've been portrayed as the terrorists, like on the airplanes, and, you know, and that's something definitely I think that's going to change after the show.
I think that for the past 30-some-odd years that I've been here, that I've grown up in the United States, the perception, you know, when I tell people I'm Persian or I'm from Iran, they only have a certain few things that they can grab from. Axis of evil or the hostage crisis, or, you know, some act of terrorism. And I feel like our show is actually showing people that we're similar to any other minority, except we like gold and marble and Mercedes more, that we love the United States and we don't want to blow things up, and we don't all have Uzis or camels. Mm-hmm. So that's been...
We don't throw rocks. You know, I think that this show, like Reza said once, really humanizes our culture and shows people that we're just like everybody else. We're silly. We party. We work hard.
We love our families.
And we love our country. We love America.
I like Lily at the end almost sounded like she was giving her speech for her Miss America pageant.
Well, she also sounded like she might have been a little bit sick and like phlegmy, so her voice wasn't as irritating there towards the end.
Oh.
I thought.
Nice.
Slightly. Michelle's looking at me like, no.
It's, I don't know. She should get her tonsils removed or something. I don't know. Like, I think she's making her voice sound like that. She could have a deeper voice if she wanted to, but I guess she doesn't want to change it, like she said on the reunion, but...
Is this something that's a big deal? Do all people think that Persian people are terrorists? I myself am Middle Eastern. I'm Lebanese, and I've lived my life here in America, and never have people thought that I'm like a crazy terrorist or that's all that my family is. It's like, maybe they should just get a new circle of friends is what I'm saying, is what I'm thinking. Like, is that the common perception that people have of Middle Easterners? Like, is that the reason that they did the show? And if so, is this a better view of Persian people? Like, are they really giving them a better outlook on, like, you know, because now they just seem a little bit materialistic. Or did they just get on the show to be famous on TV?
You want to field it?
I don't know. I'm scared to say the wrong thing. But I don't agree with what they're saying about people thinking that Persians are all terrorists. Generally, when I think of people making stereotypes on terrorism, it's more so based off religion. Mm-hmm. So maybe like Muslims would be lumped into a category as terrorists more so than Persians.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And I don't by any means think that the example that they're setting is A, any better. I mean, I guess it's better than terrorism. But B, I don't think it's necessarily the most accurate. I mean, I don't know any Persians in Beverly Hills, unfortunately. But is that really how they all are? Is that really what the Persian American community is outside mm-hmm. of Beverly Hills? Probably not.
I don't know. I have to say, you know, I grew up in L.A. I definitely do have Persian friends in Beverly Hills. I went to school with a bunch. And I did not have that experience ever that with this sort of misconception. I think 9/11 maybe didn't do a lot for the culture in a positive way. But let me say that, you know, growing up in LA, I immediately after 9/11 would go into, like, I had a regular gas station with an attendant I was, like, very familiar with, and his name was Muhammad, and he had covered up his name tag with an Americanized name. It was, you know, it was a bad time. So I don't know, maybe since then.
Like Martin.
It was, don't bring Martin into this.
I forgot. Yeah. Sorry,
Matthew.
Martin.
Yeah.
And I think it was Anthony, but.
What are you? My name is Bob. Thank you.
But yeah, I think that perhaps since then, but I don't know that that's been like the American experience.
Yeah, well, and it's different. I do feel like LA, Los Angeles, Beverly Hills especially is really kind of disconnected from a lot of what goes on in other parts of the country, too. For example, like Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, I really don't think that all housewives live like that. So, you know, maybe we should take it all with a grain of salt. But if that is the real reason that they're doing this, are they giving an accurate portrayal, like you said before? Like, is this really what Persians are like? You know?
No, that is not all. Not, yeah, we can't. Anyway.
Ay, ay, ay.
Ay, ay, ay. It's too much. All right. Anything else about this reunion part one?
We've talked about the shaving of Gigi.
Enough.
Yeah.
Enough throughout the season.
We'll be back next week, right?
We will be. News and gossip, maybe.
Do you have anything? I have
like one thing.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Well, Lily came super prepared with all of her documents showing about how she owned her $1 million company and $72,000 or whatever. But it turns out she actually has a business partner, Jennifer Stano or Stano. And I guess her husband actually pays for quite a bit of their business. So you can find...
Oh, no.
You can find Jennifer on TLC Secrets of a Trophy Wife. And she talks on her blog. She's on Jennifer Stano. Jennifer, spelled like Jennifer, STANO.blogspot.com. And she talks about how she originally was going to be maybe cast on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, but they said she was too young. and then was cast on Trophy Wife, and Lily was cast for Shaws, and they were excited to be on each other's shows, but that wasn't allowed because it's competing shows. But
they're business partners?
They're business partners. So.
Oh, great. So now there's another outlet for her to...
Exactly.
Oh, dear.
But so they talk about each other and the shows, but it turns out there's somebody else maybe bankrolling her life, you know, some other gentleman.
She couldn't afford to take the blog spot off of
I guess not. I don't know. Maybe it's important to Jennifer to keep that up there.
Right? $7.99 or something. Like,
yeah.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah. Anyway, that's all I have. Anybody else? No, you had that video.
I had the video. There isn't. I mean, there will be the reunion next week, so we will be back next week. Exciting! Mm. And it seems like, I have to say, this watching the reunion, though, I felt like was a lot more exciting than a lot of episodes were this season. So I feel like the next week will be exciting.
Clip shows tend to be
better,
more action-packed, I mm-hmm. think.
And yeah. You see stuff that they don't normally show.
Anyway, let's predict some things.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I said it once, I will say it again. I do not think Gigi will be on season 3.
Okay.
That is my prediction.
Well, then I predict a spinoff for Gigi.
I see your prediction.
I don't really have a prediction. I predict that Reza is trying to get with Andy Cohen.
Mm. Ooh. Maybe it's already happened.
Maybe.
Because
yeah,
Andy was like, he's very gay. He's clearly very gay.
Saw that. And Reza's like, I knew I was coming here to see you. I can't do his accent, but he's like, I knew I was coming here to see you. So I had to get my mustache trimmed.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I don't know. Mm. I like that though. Who can find this out? I don't know. Where can we find you ladies in the meantime?
Well, you can find me at Dua Casey on Twitter, DuaKaissi. Or you can find me here Thursday nights buzzing about anger management.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Michelle Renee LA. And I'm here on Tuesday and Wednesday buzzing about Heart of Dixie on Tuesday, and on Wednesday, Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah, hey, I was just hearing my boyfriend is very into Vanderpump Rules. Anyway, you can follow me, Cobble for Mayor, KOPBELFORMAYOR. I am here with Dua on Thursdays talking about anger management. I'm also here Sunday nights buzzing about revenge. And we will also be here buzzing next week for part 2 of the reunion.
And what do you know about gold?
A thing or two.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.